Catherine was an intelligent, determined young woman. If the authorities weren't going to do anything, well then, she would. On 18th of July, the Sharbs buried Irene, who had lived such a short, sad life, and the next day, fueled by sorrow and the senseless waste, Catherine went to the Department of Health on Franklin Street. She had a report she wished to make, she told the official there, and she told him all about Irene and her tragic death, and how Molly Maggia had died of the same sort of poisoning a year ago. It was the United States Radium Corporation, she made sure to say, on Olden Street in Orange. Still another girl, she reported, is now complaining of trouble. And she said clearly, they have to point the brushes with their lips. That was the cause of all this trouble, all this agony, all this death. Report filed, Catherine left, hoping and assuming that something now would be done. A memo was filed about her visit. At the end, it said simply, a foreman at the plant by the name of Veit said her claims were not true. And that was that. Helen and Irene's deaths had not gone unnoticed by their former colleagues, at least. Many of the girls I knew and had worked with in the plant, observed Quinta MacDonald, began to die off alarmingly fast. They were all young women in good health. It seemed odd. That summer, however, Quinta was caught up in all things family and had no time to give the situation much more thought than that. On 25th of July, she gave birth to her second child, Robert. We were all so darned happy together, she remembered of that time. She and her husband James now had the perfect family, a little boy and a little girl. The kid's aunt Albina, who was still waiting for the blessing of her first child, doted on them both. During her pregnancy, like many women, Quinta had suffered swollen ankles. Although Helen's birth had been relatively easy, she'd struggled with Robert. It was a difficult labour and forceps had been used. After his birth, she'd assumed she'd get well, but instead developed a bad back, and her ankle still bothered her. I hobbled around, she later recalled. She treated the problem with household remedies. And then, I went to bed one night, she remembered, and woke up in the morning with terrible pains in my bones. She called out a local doctor, and he began treating her for rheumatism. His call-out fee was $3 a pop, and she and James could have done without the additional expense given the new baby, but she just couldn't seem to shake the pains. By the end of the year, she would have seen the doctor 82 times. As the summer of 1923 drew to a close, Catherine Sharp's complaint from the middle of July was finally investigated by Lenore Young, an Orange health officer. She looked up the dead girl's records and found that Molly Maggia had died of syphilis and Helen Quinlan of Vincent's angina. I tried to get in touch with Veit, she added, but he was out of town. And so she did nothing. I let the matter drop. It has been neglected, but not out of my mind entirely. Had the dial painters been privy to her correspondence, those words would have been cold comfort indeed to those continuing to suffer, including Hazel Vincent. Hazel was still being treated for pyorrhea and still having teeth extracted, her teeth old friends dying off one by one until her own mouth felt like a stranger. By now she could no longer work as the pain was unbearable. For her friends and family, it was intolerable to watch. For Theo in particular, who had loved her since they were teenagers, he felt like he was feeling his future disintegrate in his arms. He begged her to let him pay for the doctors and the dentist that she went to, but she was unwilling to accept money from him. He wasn't going to stand for that. This was the woman he loved. If she wouldn't accept help from him as her boyfriend, would she accept it if she was his wife? And so, even though Hazel was very ill, he married her, because he believed that if she was his wife, he would be more able to take care of her. They stood before the altar together, and he promised to love her in sickness and in health. End of CD 2.